Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
The world has changed. Are you still trying to reach people the same way? If you are, you're like most people. And unfortunately, you're going to be left behind. This is why at the Igniting Souls Conference 2022, we are taking an absolute deep dive and showing authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers how to leverage the new internet to grow their book, brand, and business. All the information is at ignitingsoulsconference.com. Get your ticket today because there are limited seats. Hope to see you there.
Hey friends, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. Welcome to Blockchain Life. By the way, thanks for your support. Go ahead and review it. We've been having lots of good comments. People are digging this and I get to talk with really smart people. So that's why I like it. But today I'm chatting with Matt and Matt's going to tell us about Solo Space. So Matt, give us your first last name, a little bit of your Web3 journey, and then we'll share the audience, the whole website and talk about Web 2.5, which is very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Matt Cohen, and building this Web3 photorealistic metaverse. And, my journey started growing up being into video games and, going to school for computer science.
Nice.
Which, transitioned into, working in web development. And then eventually led me down the path of working in design and architectural renderings, both in the private and public sector. And with this dream of building a video game actually. Over time that transitioned into a metaverse and kind of to where we're at today, which is it's been really awesome to take the dream into fruition and getting a great response.
Well, your graphics, I mean, you nailed it. Like, wow, the waterfall, it looks crazy real. What am I looking at? Solospace.io, everyone who's listening via audio, but it looks beautiful. You got to check it out if you're listening to audio when you're at a safe spot. Unreal Engine. Gee, okay. Tell us more.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, there's a couple of ways of doing it when you're wanting to build something like this. And to me, Unreal Engine is they're one of the best. So once I was able to get their support on the project, then working with some of the best designers that they have, it was like, it was a dream.
It's this world a lot better than me, but it's basically Coke Pepsi. It's between Unity and Unreal pretty much, right?
Yeah, and we're actually working with Unity as well. So it's combining the two. There are some aspects with Unreal Engine that they don't offer that Unity has. So it's a bit of both worlds, but it's heavily Unreal Engine 5 because we imagine that the metaverse will have this photorealistic feel.
Yeah.
So that's why we kind of went in this direction.
I'll help my audience understand a little bit because, I know enough to be dangerous. I mean, I read this stuff. My latest book that I'm into right now is Matthew's book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that one, but that's a pretty big one.
I have not. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's going to be the volume on the metaverse because, I mean, you'll geek out. He goes a lot into gaming.
Okay.
One of his points is that, like you said, The Mandalorian, for example, in my knowledge and study, here's what I realized today, that it was a quarter of the cost per minute for an average Star Wars film because they filmed it using this type of technology. Is this something you heard?
using this type of technology?
Yeah, like in other words, because they didn't use like physical sets in costumes, and because they used a lot of the stuff you're using with these engines, they were able to cut the cost by 3/4 per minute.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, we're building these virtual spaces for brands, for retail brands, where is, you know, if they were going to, you know, leasing a space at a shopping mall, you know, how much does that cost versus having space in the virtual world in our fashion district? I mean, the cost difference is huge.
Yes.
So that makes quite a difference on their revenue.
And yet the viewer couldn't really notice a difference. I mean, my family and I, we watched Mandalorian and it felt very real. I'm also told that some of these production places, essentially, let's say you create a Mandalorian set or for you a Solo space set. What you could do, I mean, it gets a little nutty, but this is what can happen now. Peloton could say, you know what, we're going to have a ride in the Mandalorian city. Again, I don't know Star Wars that much, so I couldn't tell you what the world's named. But Peloton could essentially license this backdrop, this world that the Mandalorian already created. Or we could license the Warrior Golden State basketball court and go on a date on the court side. Like, this is the type of weird stuff that can happen. Do you agree with this?
Absolutely. It's almost, I mean, we can do anything that you can imagine at this level. That the technology and the innovation that's been going on, that really, really brilliant developers have been working on, have given us the opportunity to build anything that you can imagine. So, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, people can go on a date to a movie theater, and feel like you're there in the movie theater, or feel like you're there in a concert and watching, you know, I don't know, Imagine Dragons, for example. You know,
so yes, it's so cool. Absolutely. And then this is what I want people to realize. Like, it'd be one thing if Matt and I were talking about one technology, but the fact that you layer haptic suits, you know, which give your body the impression of physical sensation. I mean, you could literally, this is what I'm hearing, some of my research, you could literally be watching the Golden State and the Cleveland Cavaliers play real game with your VR goggles in real time. You have courtside seats. And then as soon as LeBron, you know, or not LeBron, as soon as Steph Curry misses the shot at the end, you can be like, oh, hold on, I want to go in and shoot it and see if I would have scored the buzzer beater. Like, this is what's crazy.
Yeah, totally.
You're starting to see these physical and digital. Here's what I call it, Matt. I've kind of coined the term the great metagration.
I haven't heard of that.
No. So it's the integration, but it's called the metagration. It's between physical and digital. So let's talk about solospace.io. Let's talk about what you have going on, because I want my listeners to kind of like imagine if they were at your website. Walk me through, like, what am I looking at?
So this specifically is Solo Park, and you can think of Solo Park, it's almost like Central Park or you know, in LA there's LA Live, so it's kind of like you know, the centralized location where from here you can either, you know, you can meet someone up and go down to Space Arena, which is down there on the left side.
By the way, if I hit register, would it connect my digital wallet or email?
No. It's just like a launch list right now because we're building this. Okay. But in reality, right now where we're at is we have a first player version of this. It looks amazing, and it's going to be kind of going more public soon, where you have the ability to walk through Solo Park and walk through. You can go to the museum. You can go to the fashion district, and feel like you're right there. So it's
I want people to realize this too. Like, look at this here. You're telling me. What am I looking at here? This is some of the press. What am I looking at?
Yeah. So this is just kind of talking a little bit about myself, talking a little bit about Soma, which is on our team. He's from MIT, and the work that we've done, getting a lot of advice from the MIT research team.
Yeah.
Unreal Engine, Epic Games, Ticketmaster, Live Nation, they've supported us and giving us the opportunity to integrate. So that's something that's really exciting. So
wow.
That kind of opens us up to, a lot of artists that giving them another stage. And then, yeah, we've been on Apple News, Market Watch, all this kind of stuff. Forbes or in Wall Street Journal is like yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, just like this week they...
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So this plug and play parcels, this is your typical, hey, digital real estate type of thing?
Yeah. So it's digital real estate. So there's land, we have land parcels, and the plug and play is referencing to the no code, low code, property that we've built and we're building, where users have the ability to either, add a structure, a property to their land, or they can buy one that's built by an architectural professional. So
I love it. I love it. All right. So what am I looking at here? This is an avatar.
Yeah. So once you sign up and you have the ability to create your own metahuman.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of an example of a metahuman. It's just an example. It's not a real person. It's just like a demo version of someone just hanging out at Solo Park.
Sure. Yeah. Perfect. And what's your big vision with this? That is it a game? Is there business? I'm going to play devil's advocate. Do we need another Decentraland? How are you different? What is it related to Sandbox? Give us some examples.
Yeah. So if you look at Decentraland and Sandbox, they're doing some really cool stuff too.
Yeah.
The way they've built it up until now, they've built it mostly on Unity and type of technology where it's a bit, cartoonish.
Yes, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I noticed your difference right away. Your metahuman looked pretty real.
Yeah. So, that's why in our case, using Unreal Engine and some of these technologies that we've stacked up, in many ways, we're using the type of technology that they would use in movies. So it kind of gives it this photorealistic feel, which to me is something that's, it looks cooler. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that cartoonish type.
No, I get you. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people that are saying, look, Horizon, you don't even have legs. That's pretty jacked up. But I like what you're saying. And so you basically are creating, I'm already seeing some differentiation. You're seeing a Web 2.5. Why do you call it Web 2.5?
Well, because we're essentially bridging the gap from Web 2 to Web 3.
Yep.
And, initially our plan was, Web 3 was the trending word.
Yeah.
And we were planning on having tokens and PACE tokens, and we were approved by all the big exchanges.
Yeah.
And we essentially decided that it might make more sense for us, as more users adopt VR headsets and all this technology, that, it might make sense for us to kind of go in a different direction. And we came up with this Web 2.5. So, which is, there's still crypto elements, whereas, we can accept USDT, USDC. But, there needs to be a little bit of a transition you know, until the public adopts a lot of these technologies to make it so that they're more comfortable with it. So
I'll tell you what, I think you're onto something big with that term. I really do. And
thanks. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Here's why. I'm a writer. And so my book comes out in October, and I'm going to quote you in here, because so it's called Blockchain Life. Okay. And so, you know, it's a book all about Web3, metaverse, crypto, you know, this type of thing, just an intro. But what's interesting though, Matt, is that I had to do a deep dive into the difference, what I consider Web 1, Web 2, Web 3. So this is all related to the book, you know.
Okay.
And so these are all like different categories on the left.
Uh huh.
And would you agree with this, by the way? Some of this, I mean, this makes sense to you.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've never heard Web 2.5, and so I love it. And I'm going to use you as an example. I'm going to quote you, and I'm going to say, look, here's a company that gets it, that there's not going to be a hard fork. I know we're using the term, but they're not going to be a major clear cut. It's going to be a fade. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not Web 2 to Web 3 now. There's a bridge. There's a transition.
That's huge.
And then also having that flexibility where users, you know, they may not want to use crypto, but you know, USDC, USDT from dollars, yeah. It's something that it's more comfortable to grasp.
So for my audience who doesn't know what that is, you're basically saying that that's a stable coin. That is crypto, but they don't have to go through the volatility of up and down currency. Is that right?
Right. So they can just swap, you know, a couple bucks of their dollars and then to a stable coin. And so that's something that's more comfortable to do.
Yeah.
It's much easier.
Yeah. And again, you know, I love my audience because they're like, they came in, they're faithful. They came from Web 2 and I'm trying to like onboard them. So if they don't know what a stable coin is, basically, can you just describe a little bit for them, like, so that they realize like, oh, Ethereum is different than a stable coin.
Yeah. So, I mean, a stable coin moves with a dollar. It almost represents a dollar, USDT or USDC. So it's the same as considering a dollar. So any stable coin like a USDC or a USDT is the same as a dollar. It's just the digital version.
What was that? One of my buddies was big into a stable coin that just crashed, but he got out right before. Wasn't there something like
Terra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk about that, because was that a risk? How is that different than, you know, the UST or whatever it's called?
I mean, honestly, I don't really know too much about Terra other than those are the headlines that came about. So I never got involved in that, but
it sounds to me like it was more risky than a dollar.
Yeah.
Digital dollar. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, could be.
That helps. Okay. So you got, give us the timeline. I know it said coming summer. I get it. My deadlines are always tight or late, but what do you see as the next 12 months for Solo Space?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the plan is we're just continuously, we're building out all of the functionalities. We're continuously partnering with some of the coolest brands. And building them these plug and play presence locations where you know, they can open the doors and expose themselves to a new audience.
Mm.
So our plan is by the end of this year to launch our version on our level one beta version. So that all of our users that have signed up until now can try it out and experience Solo City, And then, like I said, continuously, bridging the gap and partnering with more brands and expanding the city while launching all of our parcels and, all of the districts that we have within our city. So, beyond Solo City and so, we have a business district and like I said, the fashion district. We're just expanding on it.
So you don't need to convince me because I'm already on board, but imagine you're talking to my team and they're already on board too. So they're an amazing team, so we're a publishing company and let's say that I got some skeptics and they're like, psh, why do you need to be in the business district? In fact, somebody said that this week. I was chatting with them and we were talking about Chase Bank in the metaverse. And I was trying to explain like why Chase made a presence there. And I think every company should. But what would you say for me to get into Solo City, Igniting Souls Publishing Agency and Blockchain Life? Why should I get in there?
Well, I mean, like I said, it's going to open you up to and expose you to a whole new audience than that otherwise may have not been on their radar. One way is, there's Web 2, which is screens, looking at screens like we're doing now. And yeah. Then, Web 3 is more of the immersive version. A lot of brands are looking to have this type of presence because it's becoming more and more clear to them that, VR technology and headsets are most likely going to be, it's clear that they're going to be secondary to our mobile devices.
And at least AR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Meaning, right? Like, in other words, in 12 months, I could be wearing my glasses and then on the side, I'm seeing augmented reality versus I got my Oculus, where now I'm fully disconnected from the real world. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And then XR as well, which is extended reality, which is a version of also a virtual reality. So all these applications are being built and there's some brilliant people that are working on all this innovation. It's just a matter of time. It's
basically, you're saying it's where traffic is, it's where people are going and market share. I mean, I am so with you, by the way. I have a whole conference that I shifted. I used to be author focused and the word on the street is, well, you don't care about authors anymore. I'm like, actually, I care more about authors because I'm shifting to Web3 and most celebrities, brands, and businesses are gaining market share while authors are going to be left behind. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, that's the case. And I mean, if you think about it, like Gap, the Gap stores.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They've shut down a lot of their retail stores because shopping at a mall, has lost a lot of traffic over the last couple of years. So by having a presence in a fashion district in the metaverse, that opens them up to a whole new audience.
You're right.
And makes up for that lost revenue, and not to mention also creates new jobs because, there's still some of the people that were working on there, now they're working in a meta version of a Gap store.
So good. I'm with you. And I mean, this isn't a political thing, but there was a mall shooting in Indiana 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I get it. Haters will say, well, there's abuse going on in the metaverse. Well, you know what? There is also down the road, down in the city. So I think it's this whole, people are scared of new technology. And they're going for the low hanging fruit of like, why this is scary, why it's risky, why we should be careful. And the point is like, yes, yes, yes. But the point is that if I go down to New York City or Columbus, Ohio, I still have to watch where my wallet is, where my phone is, where my kids are, where I park the car. Like, this is life.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Absolutely. And that's why we've teamed up with some of the best in the world when it comes to security and privacy. So everyone from the AWS to Google and Meta, and so we're able to use these tools and have some support from Fireblocks, for example, which is top of the line security. So keeping all of those things in mind so that we can, we don't want to have this dystopian future. We want to make it fun and exciting and create opportunities while we're building this. So, it's worth it to try it, and you'd be surprised about, how fun it might be.
This was a great chat. Where can people find out more about you? I see that you have some social buttons on your website, solospace.io. By the way, before you share where we can find you, I love domains. I'm a nerd. I nerd out about them. Why did you choose .io?
It's been over the last couple of years, it was more and more popular. We went for it and we liked it, and it was a kind of like a team decision. Everyone was like, oh yeah, that sounds really great, let's go for that.
I love it. I bought all my domains. So if you go to ignitingsouls.io, it forwards to .com and carry
over. Well, .com wasn't available.
I gotcha. But I mean, you look at autograph.io, etherscan.io. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are saying, look, and I think that's even a testimony. It used to be like live or die with .com. I mean, now we're in .xyz, .cc. I mean, there's so many. I think it goes to show like a bigger conversation of the fact that decentralization, DeFi, it's happening. You think that's true?
Absolutely, it's happening. It's absolutely happening. And also to touch on your domains, I mean, we have a lot of domains. So like we have ability for like we have like Decentraland is decentraland.org. So we have solospace.org, we have SoloCity, and we have solocity.xr. So we have tons of domains that are all gonna come in time, and depending on at which point we scale, it might be useful.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. Well, listen, I'm taking from you, because I try to distill the whole talk into one sentence, and I'm taking from you, even though you shared a lot of good stuff, I'm taking the fact that companies don't need to make a dramatic web 2 to web 3 shift. They can transition their people in a patient, thoughtful way that gets them comfortable. I love that. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you know this true story, but it's in the Metaverse book. They could have not included the home button in the beginning, and it would have been a lot easier. But do you know that they held back just for what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
So Steve Jobs knew it would be faster, cheaper, easier to not include the home button, but they included it because they thought that it was a too much of a dramatic shift.
Right.
Okay. This is like exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've actually heard that. Yeah.
That's cool. Absolutely. Well, listen, thanks so much. Stick around for 30 seconds afterwards, because I got to tell you one thing. But Matt, thank you so much. And we're going to send traffic your way at solospace.io. Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.